In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages, Amen. I'm so excited about the new series that we are starting today, entitled Mission Focused Church. And our prayer that throughout the endurance of this series, we as a congregation, as well as individuals and households, will become more mission focused to know our true calling here on earth and why our Lord Jesus wanted us to exist in this particular time in history. And how can we better become witnesses to His holy name? As a matter of fact, as this series progresses, my prayer is that we will realize that without mission, there is no church. Without mission, there is no church. And there is no church also without mission. Even though today we are going to go through an introduction about mission, I don't want you to be overwhelmed with all the information that we will go through today, because God willing, in the upcoming weeks, we will break it down into segments that we can easily absorb, and also we will know how can we practically become a missionary church as well as missionary-minded individuals. Our first session today is entitled The Great Commission, and in it we'll discuss the necessity of living our missionary mandate in the world today. Let's look quickly at our table of context. We will begin with a very quick introduction. Then we will speak about the Great Commission. And then we will have a definition of what is mission. And then inspiring sayings about mission. And then finally, a conclusion. A few years ago, I traveled with some youth. I accompanied them to South Africa. And when we were there, one of the youth told us something that really stuck with me that they have in the African culture. When an elder of the family is just about to pass away or is getting sick, they gather all the family and the friends around this man or woman to hear out their wisdom. Because the last words that they are going to say before their departure will be an accumulation and a summary of his or her experience throughout their life. So the last words that this individual is about to say, everyone, young and older, would heed to and listen to very closely, because this is the summary of their life. And so our Lord Jesus also, just prior to his departure or just prior to his ascension to heaven, he gathered all the disciples around him. And they all heeded to him and listened to him with the words that are going to be a summary to his life and ministry on earth. And he left them with this very strong message, which is mentioned at the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew and also mentioned in Mark and Luke. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And thus our Lord Jesus is telling his disciples, everything that I have done with you and amongst you is not just to be easily forgotten, because it is the most important and significant life and actions. It is a life-saving and a life-giving message that he is leaving to all of humanity. And he has done his part in living out his life, giving us an example. He is God appeared in the flesh. He showed us what a godly life should be. He gave us salvation. He died for us. He ascended to the heaven. And then he has left this great commission, this statement here is called the great commission of the church. What is the mission of any believer or any church? It is to go, and the stress here is on the word go. Go, and we'll hear also some action verbs. Go and preach and teach and repent and send and witness and baptize. All of them are action verbs, that there is no time for any believer to sit back and to be quite an observant. But all of us should be actively involved in the mission of the church. Go, get up from our seats and go do something. What should we do? To preach, to teach, to help people to repent, to send across the city, across the house, across the workplace, across the globe, and to witness and ultimately to baptize. God had a missionary mind since the beginning of times. He is always seeking people to repent and to return to Him. Some people accuse God of being ethnocentric in the Old Testament, meaning that He manifested Himself only to the Jews and He didn't care about the nations or the Gentiles. But as a matter of fact, this is not true. Because over and over again, we see examples in the Old Testament how God manifested Himself to the nations or to the Gentiles. He wanted them to repent and to return to Him and to observe His laws and His commandments. One of these beautiful examples in the Old Testament is that of the repentance of the people of Nineveh. Our Lord Jesus went to Jonah and He asked him the exact same command. He asked him to go. Again, this the stress here on the word to go, and to help these people and to warn them that they may repent. Jonah 1 verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And the same word again is repeated in the beginning of chapter 3. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Our Lord sent His message to all the nations and the people. Some people responded while others rejected the calling. Nineveh, Jonah, when he was asked to go to Nineveh, he apologized because of his lack of skills or inability. Or as a matter of fact, he accused God that he is too compassionate. He's too kind and too loving. And what God will end up doing is He will just remit the people their sins and He will be embarrassed. So he focused on himself rather than on the mission that is in front of him. Until he went through some kind of trial. And you know the rest of the story of Jonah. And when he came out of the belly of the whale, he repented and he heeded to God's voice to go to the Ninevites. As for Isaiah, he also was purified when the angel took a piece of coal and he touched his tongue. And then the Lord asked in Isaiah 6:8, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell these people, keep on hearing but do not understand, etc. Again, the word go is mentioned over and over. It's an action verb. How many of us can say today, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm ready to accept your calling and I'm ready to accept the mission that you have in mind for me. Accounts of the Great Commission is mentioned in Mark 16, 14 to 18, Luke 24, 44 to 49. And then also, just before the Lord's ascension, which is in the beginning of the book of Acts, Acts 1, 8, again the Lord says, when they spoke to him about the end of times, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father had put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Back then, and up until very recently, every nation and culture lived in one country or in one city or district. But the great blessing that we have in this day and age is that the whole world, the ends of the earth, is now coming to Jerusalem. Isn't that beautiful? Because we see people from every nation and tongue and language and tribe from all over the four corners of the earth. And they all gather together in this beautiful city of ours, Toronto. And thus, the great commission is to step beyond our comfort zone. Yes, at a certain time in our history, every church has encapsulated itself within its own ethnic boundaries. But the calling of the Great Commission is to reach out far and beyond our ethnicity, our socioeconomic statuses, our comfort zones, and to go. How many times did we hear today the word go? God is asking us to go. Reach out far and beyond. Reach out to Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What is mission? Mission actually comes from Latin origin. Missio is a Latin word meaning actions or purposes. Therefore, maybe around 100 years ago or just over that, this word started to come into use in the church. And it was attached to the word day. Day means God. So the mission of God or Messiah Day basically meant the purposes or the actions of God in the world that we live in today. And a missional church is a church that exists for Messiah Day, for the whole purpose of fulfilling God's actions in the world that we live in today. What is the mission of God? What is God's mission? When we speak about Messiah Day, what do we mean exactly? The mission of God is to redeem people from every tongue, tribe, and nation, to save the lost and the destitute people for His own glory. To rescue sinners through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the praise of His name. And to fulfill the beautiful verses in Revelations 5, 9 to 10, and also 7 to 9, that we mention all the time because really it's a basis for our ministry as a church, which is, they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Therefore, God's mission is to bring His message of salvation to every individual who has or has not heard it before. What is a missional church, or what is a missionary church? And again, some of the quotes that we're going to go through in a minute are life-altering and life-changing. And these have been so meaningful to me in my journey, personal journey with the Lord, as well as in all of my studies and endeavors and ministry, to crystallize this aspect. What is a missional church? How can we better reflect the image of God in the world that we live in today, as well as amongst ourselves? A missional church sees herself as existing primarily for God's glory, to make God known, to magnify God's name to all peoples, cultures, and nations of the world. She exists not for her own comfort or prosperity, but for the mission of God. A missional church views the world through the lens of God, His glory, and His mission to the praise of His name alone. Therefore, all of our energies are really to be focused on fulfilling God's purposes or God's actions. By being a missionary church doesn't mean that we will leave the church today and go out and every person we see in the street we start to speak to about God and really be unwise about this aspect. No, I want to live for God's glory in my own personal life, and I want to reflect His light and His image to the whole world. So it will come very naturally. And as we progress further in this series, we will see different means of confessing God's name and proclaiming His image and showing to the whole world how glorious and how majestic He is. Some people by nature are extroverts. They can speak to others freely. And others are introverts, whereas they don't freely speak about their faith. Both are okay and accepted by God. There is a way to witness to Him by word, there is a way to witness to Him by deed, and there is a way to witness to Him by our silence, like Saint Anthony the Great or some of the fathers of the Middle Ages, who basically said that go and preach the gospel and whenever necessary use words. So we don't want to be enclosed within one idea of mission. But the first step that we are praying that we would reach today is that we would accept our role as God's calling when He tells us to go, therefore, to preach, to teach, to baptize, to witness to Him. This is our first and basic role as Christians. And without this role, we cannot be Christians, because the whole of Scriptures is focused around the mission of God. What are some other terms used for mission? We will find the terms evangelism, to evangelize, to become a bearer of the good news. And this is who each one of us is. Also, other words to use for mission is to witness. Okay, and witnessing could be through different means, through word or deed or actions or silence, as we have mentioned before, or preaching or serving or speaking, or sometimes also the silent mission. All of these, God willing, we will use them interchangeably or as part of our entire missionary mandate, and this will become more crystallized as we move on in this series. Finally, I want to share with you some inspiring sayings about mission that really, the more we think about, the more focused we'll become as a community, as a church, on mission. First, we want to say that, and I have the names of where these quotations came from in the bottom. So, mission is the fundamental reality of our Christian life. We are Christians because we have been called by God to work with Him in the fulfillment of His purposes for humanity as a whole. Our life in this world is the life in mission. Life has a purpose only to the extent that it has a missionary dimension. Also, we see here another quote: any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has fortified its biblical right to exist. Why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard it once? And one of the beautiful analogies that I heard recently, think about feeding the multitude with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Our Lord Jesus set them all in groups, and He brought His disciples and He asked them to start to give and to divide to each of them. Not one group ate twice before the group all the way at the end, the last of the 5,000, ate once. And this is the concept of mission and ministry. We feel that we have been fed throughout our entire lives. And we come back to the church and we are re-energized. And we go back and we forget about what we heard. And it's an endless cycle that we fall into. But it's the best way here is to learn or to grow through helping others also to grow. So the whole concept of we shouldn't be feeding or eating twice before everyone has eaten once is the whole concept of going and reaching out to others. And while we are helping others, we are being helped ourselves to grow in the faith and in the love of Christ. Why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard it once is the spirit of a missionary-minded Christian. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become. The Bible is not the basis of missions. Missions is the basis of the Bible. And let me tell you the truth, that if we set our mind on a missionary wavelength, when we start reading the Scriptures, we'll read it in a whole new, different way. We will see how the Lord Jesus dealt with sinners and people who are disenfranchised, and people who are pushed away from mainstream society. The way that He dealt with others is very much missionary. When we read the book of Acts, we find that it is a book of missions, not just a book of the Acts of the Apostles. It is the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And this is the beauty of being missionary minded. How St. Paul entered into Athens and how he reached to the pagans. And how when he saw an altar that was dedicated to the unknown God, he didn't consider it blasphemy, but he went down to their level. And he brought them up with him. He said, I'm coming to you to preach about this unknown God that you have been worshipping for a long time, but never knew who he is. He is coming to preach to them about this pagan God that they never knew. And he told them, this is the God of heavens and earth. He is the creator of all. How he quoted their poets, and how he went to the Areopagus, the hill of Eros, where some of the philosophers were, and he sat with them on the mountain, and he discussed with them in very simple terms. My beloved, one of the greatest blessings, but also weaknesses of the church, is that it has become institutionalized. It's a big word for me. But what do I mean by that? It meant that church has been reduced to four walls and a lecture and some actions, and then that's it. But when you look at the first church, it was church in the open, church in the field. The Lord took his disciples and he taught them out in the field. The scholastic movement, which meant that students had to come to a classroom, was a big blessing because now you can have focused learning. But this is not the church. The church cannot just be reduced to scholastics and staying in Sunday school, staying between four walls, and that's about it. The purpose of God to the church is to go and to teach and to preach and to exist in the world. And we cannot lose either one, because also our gathering together as a church has its strength and its power. Because we come together to worship God, to praise Him, and to partake of the Holy Eucharist. And that in itself is much spiritual energy that we receive in seeing one another and communing, having communion with one another. But we cannot also forget the other aspect of reaching out far and beyond. Thinking like the mind of Christ, the one whom the closer we get to, the more we understand that our purposes are far beyond this enclosure. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered, it is a command to be obeyed. The Lord said to us, go therefore and teach and preach and baptize, and I am with you unto all the ends of the ages. In conclusion, I want to say that we shouldn't be overwhelmed with the message today. Many of us have lived in the church their entire lives and possibly never realized that to be a Christian means that we have to be missionary minded. The church cannot afford not to be a missionary church anymore, but we have to respond to the needs of the world that is around us. There's so many people in our day-to-day lives who are lacking the sense of a true connection with God. Maybe they have reached financial satisfaction. Maybe they have some relationships, whether they are happy in them or not. But you find that there is a real thirst for the Word of God in the world that we live in today. Many people come to us and say, we have everything, but we still are missing something. This something is the presence of God in their lives. And they need that friend that we spoke about last week. That friend who will take them through the roof in order to reach the Lord Jesus. These friends who will push them in the pool in order to be healed after 38 years of being paralyzed. The Spirit of God is definitely moving in the age and time that we live in today. And you and I are partners. Are partners in the work of God. Just like St. Paul said, someone planted the seed and someone watered it, but it was God who gave the growth or the increase. Let us just do our part in being very wise. We're not speaking about pushing, we're not speaking about forcing people to go in either direction, but us, through living the Word of God, we will fulfill the Great Commission of God. All we have to do is just to say the words of Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. I am ready. I am ready, Lord. No longer do I want to enclose myself or encapsulate myself in between boundaries or walls, but your message is for the whole world. It is, after all, the good news. People want to hear the good news that Jesus has come to save all the world and to save sinners, among whom I am first. God's mission is not all about preaching on street corners, but it's a way of life. I think if we can just agree that you and I are going to begin today by changing something in our lives in order to reflect the image of God, this is where it all begins. Progress comes slowly but surely. We cannot expect that we are all going to go out of the church today and call ourselves the greatest missionaries that ever existed. Let us grow together as a congregation, one bit by bit and one step at a time, without really feeling a big burden, but finding joy. And as I'm saying, when we start to read the scriptures with a missionary mind, how to reach out to others, we ourselves are going to be waters, and we ourselves are going to grow in the spirit, and we will feel a huge impact on our own personal lives. Let us progress slowly but surely. Mission has to start from within. From within our personal lives, from within our households, from within our little community, our little gathering, where God looks from heaven and He says, this is a community that has taken my message seriously, that my words did not go in vain. When I asked the disciples, all the disciples, to go and to teach and to preach, and He has promised us that He will give us aid and help. He said, I sent you out. Were you in need of anything? And they said, no, Lord. And He said, I will give you 100-fold in this life and eternal life in the age to come. Missions has to start from within. We have to reach out to one person at a time. Maybe think of one person during this divine liturgy whom has left the church, or who does not even consider God as part of his or her life, or someone who hasn't been to the church in a while, or maybe a family member, and think about how can we convey God's love. How can we do little actions of love that shows how great our Lord is? This is how it all starts, and this is how it all begins. My prayer today is that we can grow together as a church and as a community. And this subject is so important that we are going to speak about it for the next few weeks, God willing, in order to crystallize and to be able to see more clearly how can we as a community, as a congregation, become a missionary-minded church. May the Lord bless us all this morning and help us to fulfill His great commission that He has left to all His disciples. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.